I asked Melvin to play me some nice walk-in music. It's pretty cool. I'd requested Don't Turn Me Loose by Otis Redding, but he didn't. Melvin didn't think that was appropriate, so. Hasn't worship been awesome so far? Whoa, whoa, whoa! Nice. Yeah, move that. Can you move that down? Thank you. Hence the reason I only get to preach one more time, right? This is it. This guy. So, yeah, worship has been awesome. Wow. I mean, it's just been so encouraging. Everything from the acronyms, which I had no idea what that meant, to the Tommy fake out. Wasn't that cool? That was pretty cool. Yeah. So, but you know what? One of the great things about being a disciple, about being a follower of Jesus, is that life is fun, and we can enjoy our worship. We can laugh. We can smile. We can cry. We can do all those things, have all the range of emotions because of our relationship with God. So I hope you always appreciate that. I hope it always means something to you. So I wanted to thank Chad. Nice job, brother. Appreciate your honesty. Good man. So I was thinking, you know, there's not many venues in life where anyone could even do that. But church, you can do it. And everybody's totally cool with it. And it's like, amen, thank you. Thank you for being heroic. So, amen, brother. So let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. I'm going to give you a few updates. Christy has had to choose between listening to me preach and going to be with the grandchildren in New York City. So we all know where she is, right? We know what that was an easy choice for her. So be praying for her. Have a safe trip and not to ruin those grandchildren too much. Another little thing. This is just a public service announcement. We need boxes, boxes, boxes. So if you're one of these people driving around and you see boxes, you know, somewhere, and you don't mind to do the dumpster dive to get them, we need plenty of boxes for moving. So if you can get those to us, that would be so helpful. You would be a tremendous service to us. That'd be awesome. And this week, things have been kind of moving along, kind of picked up pace. We've made a lot of adjustments about getting over to Hilo. And we're actually leaving, we're flying out on May the 16th. We're flying out from San Diego, and we'll land in our new home about 10 o'clock that morning, which is going to be kind of cool. And we have a place to live. Yes. We have an apartment in Hilo. Let me give you the address. It is 181222 Volcano Highway. Yeah. I don't know about that. But that's the address. It's a highway goes up to Volcanoes National Park. So I'm also think it's probably the highway where the lava comes down by. So... So anyway, so we've had a lot of movement this week, and things are looking really good. So just continue to pray for us, and all those things will happen, and God will get us there when He wants us there and get us there so we can get to work. So before we begin, let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, open up the eyes of our heart, Lord. Let us see You. Oh God, let us see how powerful, how mighty, how amazing You are. Oh God, let us see how much You love us, how much You care for us, how much You want us to be happy, how much You want us to go to heaven. Oh God, we praise You today because You're in control of everything that's going on. Because there's nothing that is skipping, missing Your view. Father, please continue to be with us. Continue to bless us. Lord, we need Your blessings so much. Without Your blessings, Lord, we could not live. God, we pray today that You would be with us now. Father, help us to see in Your Scriptures what You want us to see. Help us to be moved by them. God, help us just to be willing to lay down everything we need to lay down everything, Lord, in order to follow Jesus. Please bless us now. It's his name that we pray. Amen. So I did want to say one more thing. I have a really special guest today that I want you to meet. John, you want to stand up quickly? Stand up, John. Stand up. Okay. This is John Greer. He is one of my oldest friends in Atlanta. Yeah, we've known each other for a long, long time. About 20 years, we figured out the other day. And he wanted to come today to hear me preach. So I want you to be sure and meet him. He's an awesome, awesome man. Someone I really respect and admire. So make sure you meet John. And don't believe any of the lies he tells about me. So let's start in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. Today, I want to talk about life in the boat with Jesus. Life in the boat with Jesus. So when we get in the boat with Jesus, when we decide to follow him, he tells us here what life is like in just a quick story. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Or as the King James Version reads, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey." So I want us to look at four key phrases about what life is like in the boat with Jesus. Number one, furious squalls. Furious squalls. I think sometimes we get confused about what we think life with Jesus is going to be like and about the kind of boat that we're in. Many of us think we're supposed to be on the Royal Caribbean cruise line. There's supposed to be an endless buffet that we can eat and we'll never get fat. Every time we drop our napkin on the floor, the waiter's supposed to come by and pick it up for us. We can go out on the boat and there are swimming pools. I read the other day where they're building one that's going to have a massive go-kart track on it. Yeah, don't get too fast or you'll go right off the edge. But people think that's what it's like. They think that's what it's supposed to be like. We were in the Bahamas back in the fall, and we were going across the bay to go from one side to the other to go do some shopping. And so we were in this small boat that they take you across on, and we went beside the second largest cruise ship in the world. It was docked there. And literally, when you got close to it, you could not see the sky. It was amazing. And people are on board there, and they're relaxing, they're having fun, they're taking it easy, they're doing, duty-free shopping. I mean, life is a ball. And sometimes we get thinking, when we become Christians, that's what life is supposed to be like. But that is not what life with Jesus is like. It is more like sailing on the Black Pearl. Everybody with me? Or the Starship Enterprise. Or, for those of us who are younger, the Millennium Falcon. It is supposed to be an adventure. And it is going to be dangerous. You're going to be getting in sword fights. You're going to have people attacking the boat. You're going to be trying to go at warp speed to get away. You're going to have to face the Klingons, the Romulans, pirates. Because of your own high adventure. When you get in the boat with Jesus. And you don't need to be so shocked that that's what happens. Every one of us can say, I have probably faced a furious squall in my life as a Christian. And I don't want to minimize what you're going through. I probably have not gone through a lot of things that some of you have gone through. I probably will, though. Because anytime you live life, you're going to go through a furious squall of one kind or the other. I got thinking about, we've been in the Atlanta church. Alan and I were talking about this morning. I about fainted when I figured it out. We have been in the Atlanta church for 24 years. I know. Some of you were not even close to being born 24 years ago. And a lot of things have happened in those 24 years. 2003, the church year went through some terrible times. Awful times. Discouraging times. I personally have been through a lot of personal changes in my life. Dealing with anger. Dealing with lust. Dealing with disappointment. Dealing with being afraid. We've had friends die. Count the other day, I've lost 5 close friends since I've been here in Atlanta. David King, Joe Woods, Andy Van Buren, Sarah Hartline, and Steve Shelton. That's going to happen. My grandson died since I've been in the Atlanta church. Most devastating thing in my life. Do you know what? That's what life is like. Sometimes you feel like you're going to sink and you're going to drown. We can understand these guys, can't we? But that's part of being a disciple. You will face furious squalls. We're going to talk about how to deal with that in a second. But just get that in your heart. Look, that's part of my life. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 8. Paul totally understood that. He totally got it. You know why? Because he went through furious squalls. In fact, when the angel went to Ananias, you know, and said, "Okay, I want you to go talk to Paul." And Paul, Ananias says, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, I've heard about this guy." And they said to him, "Say, well, go tell him blah blah blah, and how much he will have to suffer for the name of the Lord." You know that? Do you notice that's when Ananias went to talk to him? I don't know if he's thinking, "Oh, good." He's going to catch it too. So I'll go talk to it. Paul said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." Have you ever felt that way before? That in your heart, you thought, it would just be better for me to die. But this happened. Why'd that happen? That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. So Paul knew what furious squalls are. He didn't expect to be on the Royal Caribbean cruise line. He knew he was on the Black Pearl. It is worth it to be on the Black Pearl as long as Jesus is on the boat. And it is worth it. All these things I've listed, it's been worth every minute of it. As long as I can stay on the boat with Jesus. Second phrase. And this is what we'd be asking, verse 38. Don't you care? How many times, you don't have to tell me, how many times of your life have you said to God, "Don't you even care about what's going on with me?" I bet if you've been around for at least 16 years or more, you have raised that question with God. And you know what? I think that Satan really does not care about us coming to church. He really does not care about how much we study our Bible. He really does not care how many people you baptize. He does not care about how much money you give or you being faithful through all the years. All Satan wants you to believe is one single thing, and don't let go of it. And that is, God does not care about you. And if He can get you believing that, He's got you wrapped around his little finger. When he came to Adam and Eve through the serpent, what did he say to them? He said, well, you know why he doesn't want you to eat that fruit? Because God doesn't want you to know the difference between good and evil. He doesn't want you to be smart as he is. What was the underlying theme of that? He doesn't care about you. Look in Job chapter 2. This is what he always does. In Job chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Job's kind of been through all the other stuff, and you know, he kind of weathered the storm. Kind of lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. And he kind of weathered the storm. I don't know how he did it. But he did. Verse 1, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan said, roaming through the earth, going back and forth in it. Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Listen to what Satan says, skin for skin. Now remember that phrase, skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. See, Satan knew that if he started touching Job physically, that he could get to him. That's why he said skin for skin. And you know, we can suffer a lot of things, but when we start suffering things physically, when we start, our body starts hurting, we get some disease, we're suffering emotionally, you know, that's when we start thinking, you know, maybe God doesn't care about me. Skin for skin. And if you read on, that's when Job started questioning God. It's because he got Job thinking, God really doesn't care for me. This is constantly, Satan constantly presents this before us. Parents, you need to be aware of something. This is happening in your children's classrooms, starting from high school on up, that they are told almost daily by their professors, by their teachers, in some way or another, when they discuss the problem of good and evil in classrooms. They don't just discuss that in psychology classes anymore, in religious classes. They talk about it in math classes, in science classes, in physics classes. And they will bring up the point that God really does not care. It's subtle. Sometimes they're blatant about it in college. Constant. It's constantly presented to you in your living room. There's hardly a TV show that goes by that I watch. And I watch some pretty decent. I'm not watching anything weird. Where it's not addressed in one form or the other about God when something comes up about suffering. And the whole underlying theme is God does not care about you. Stephen King's one of my favorite writers. I read almost every one of his books. That theme runs through every Stephen King book. You can't trust God because God is going to turn the tables on you. He's going to trick you and you're going to suffer for it. Jesus being asleep to the disciples, that meant that God did not care. I don't know if he had a blanket. He was all snuggled down. But whatever, he was asleep. And the disciples understood that to mean that Jesus didn't care. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49. What I want to encourage you to do is this. When Satan comes to you, we're going to start in verse 13, Isaiah 49:13. When Satan comes to you and tries to get you to believe that God does not care. You need to fight that with all of your heart like you fight nothing else. Because even though it may appear sometimes that God is sleeping, even though it may appear sometimes that God is quiet, even though it may appear sometimes that God is somewhere else, He is not any of those. He is awake. He's right there beside you. And He does care. Now, He may be trying to teach you some incredible life lesson from that. That's why He may allow certain things to go on. And again, do not think I am minimizing your suffering in any way, because I am not. But you have got to hold on to the fact that God cares about you. Now, Isaiah chapter 49, starting in verse 13. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. See, they felt that. That's what God says. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the children she has born? Well, you know what God says? She may forget. That could happen. He said, but I won't forget you. And notice these words. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I personally think that was a prophecy. Because I think at the cross, our names were engraved on the hands of Jesus. And He won't forget us. He can't forget us. It's impossible. And He always does care. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. Furious squalls. Don't you care? Number 3. Peace. Be still. Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet. Or peace. Be still. Then the winds died down and it was completely calm. The plan we sometimes have for our lives is a life of, and this is how a lot of people live, agitated, frustrated, disappointed, living constantly under, feeling like you're kind of on boil all the time. You're about to burst. Anybody feel that way? You're constantly, you know, like you had too much coffee. You're jittery. And sometimes we think that's the way we're supposed to live. You can say, oh, I'm not that way. Let me give you, take a test for me this week and it will dispel your true nature. Okay? It's very easy. Drive over to Perimeter Mall. No, I'm not through. About 3 o'clock. Going eastbound, no problem. Nobody there. No traffic, nothing. Wait till 5 o'clock. Now, you have to do this on a Friday or it won't work. 5 o'clock on Friday, leave Perimeter Mall, get on 285 eastbound, westbound's okay. Go eastbound, then get on 85 north, and then get on 316 and come home. Yeah. That'll show who you really are in a heartbeat. Say, oh, I'm calm. Yeah, do that. Doesn't work the first time, do it the second time and see what happens. So, I'm going to tell y'all a story, but you can't repeat it, Christy. Which I know no one will. So one day we're over there working together. I forgot what it was. Anyway, we left her office around the same time. And I said, do you want me to follow you home? And Christy said, no. She said, I know how you like to, she said, don't do that. She said, I'll get over in the right lane and drive home. And you just get home when you want to. I said, okay. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Because what she does is, Christy gets in the right lane because she's got to eventually turn off of the right lane onto Sugarloaf Parkway. That's about 30 miles away. Now, if she's going to Gainesville, she would get in the left lane and never move. And what we call her right lane Jane. So she gets in the right lane, she doesn't move, doesn't matter what's happening in the traffic, she will not move. So I get out there, and I'm like most men. You know, I'm cautious, I'm careful, but you know, I get left lane, there's an opening over here, I will go over here, I'll go, you know. So we get home, and I'm like, you know, jittery Jim, I park, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, when will she get here? Within 30 seconds, here she comes, putting around the corner. You know, and she's calm, she's peaceful. You know, I have to go in and sit down. And unfortunately, that's sometimes how we think our lives are supposed to be lived. That calmness is something we have to wait for when we get to heaven. Calmness, peace be still, is the life that God has for you right now. It really is. God wants us to have a peaceful core in our spirit. So whether we are on the beach, or we are relaxing in our barca lounger, or we're in the middle of a furious squall on the Black Pearl, we have a peaceful and calm spirit. Now the question is, people are, so how do I get that? Look what Jesus said, because here's the answer. He said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? It's a choice between living a life of faith or living a life of fear. It's a choice. The word fear is used about 450 times in the Bible. The word faith is used 450 times in the Bible. The word fear is used about 400 times in the Bible. Really no perceptible difference between the two. And it's like God is saying to you, choose one or the other. Live a life of faith, that's peace be still. Live a life of fear, don't you care. It's your decision. My favorite verse in all of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So is it Mary's. Thank you, Mary. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I think what he's saying there too is, don't lean on your own understanding of events as they are transpiring before your eyes. God's view of what's going on looking down is totally different than your view when you're in the middle of it. In all your ways acknowledge Him, it says in verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. God can't direct your steps if you're afraid all the time. If you're jittery all the time. But if you live a life of faith, you get a calm spirit about you, a peaceful, calm spirit. God will give you direction. He's always given direction, but you're more likely to see it when you're calm than when you're jittery Jim over here. It's more easy to see it. Peace be still. So all this happened. Jesus, I think, got back under his blanket, snuggled back down on the cushion, goes on back to sleep. And these guys are sitting around looking at him. And they go, what's up with this guy? You know, that's what they asked. They weren't asking, oh, who is this? It must be, you know, they weren't asking like that. They were going, who is this guy? That's what we'd ask, isn't it? What happened? Be amazed by what God does. Make a decision that every day you are going to take some time and just be amazed by God. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you and how you love me. You know, you can think about this from the biggest things. I mean, isn't it totally cool how the world keeps spinning on its axis every day and doesn't flip off? How gravity always works every morning. You don't have to get up every morning going, I wonder if gravity's going to work today. Well, I hope so. You can look at it like that. I know for Christy and me, people say, are you really moving to Hawaii? And we're like, I think we are. Because we're so amazed by it. My wildest dreams. I never thought I'd get to be a preacher again. In my wildest dreams, I never saw that coming up. And I am amazed by that. Amen. The smallest thing should amaze you. The breath of your child when they're sleeping at night. The love that a spouse shows to you. Having a job. Getting up every day with another day to take breath. That should amaze you. About a week ago, I was sitting in our dining room, and we have a big bush, a plant, I guess it's called, but it looks like a bush to me. And right outside our window, and I just happened to glance out there in it, and there's for the first time in 20 years, I think this is the hand of the Lord, by the way, there was a bird's nest. Haven't been a bird's nest there in the 20 years we've lived there. This year, we're getting ready to go. There's a bird's nest. And every morning, that mama, she flies in that bird. I think she's been foraging. She flies in that nest and sits there all day long. And we have closed the blinds because every time we would get near it, she'd see us and she'd take off. So we close the blinds and, you know, we'll kind of peek around. You know, look, see what's going on. She's got that head in there, and she's looking around the whole time, you know. And I go there every day, and I just kind of stare at that because it's so incredibly amazing. Amen. That's the way God made life. It's so stinking cool. In Job chapter 37, it's funny when you talk about suffering, you always go back to Job, isn't that interesting? Job 37. So all Job's friends have come to him and they've, you know, given him lectures and, you know, thanks guys, I appreciate that. And I believe, Elihu's this young guy who doesn't say anything for a long time. He kind of keeps his mouth shut because he respects the elders. And, you know, so he comes and talks to Job. And he's the only one that really will confront Job about how Job feels about God. He's the only one who'll bring it up. And after he got through, Job kind of like got convicted. And he said, starting in chapter 37, verse 1, he said, at this my heart pounds and leaps from its place. That's probably the first time his heart had leaped in a long time. Listen, listen to the roar of God's voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heavens and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. Always, always, please, look at God, look at Jesus, and go, who is this? Isn't this amazing? You know, when we talked, I told my manager at Wells Fargo that I was leaving, I was retiring. She and I had some great conversations. She's only been my manager for about 9 months now, but she's just marvelous lady. And so we were going back and forth on our emails about us leaving, and she sent me an email one day saying something about, you know, I know you're happy. The last thing she wrote in her email was this: you know, sometimes, Gary, dreams do come true. And I want to say two things to you. Number one, stay in the boat with Jesus. Because if you do, guess what's going to happen? Your dreams are going to come true. All you've ever dreamed about, all you've ever cared about, it's all going to come true. Just stay in the boat with Jesus. And the second thing is this. We love y'all so much. Christy and I are so honored to have been part of the Lilburn ministry all these years. It has been a ride on the Black Pearl. But it's been an adventure we wouldn't have traded for anything. Just the way you've loved us, the way you've supported us, the way you stood with us when things were bad, the way you encouraged us when things were good. It's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And we just wanted you to know that we love you so much. Thank you, guys. God bless you all.
Heavenly Father, God in heaven, Abba, who are we that you are mindful of? God, we're just human. We're just men and women who are sinful. But yet, God, you still love us so much that you did not withhold your Son from us. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your kingdom. And God, help us to never take that for granted. For people like Gary and Christy, who've been in our life, who've helped us, who's guided us, God, that we will continue to pray for them. That in the kingdom, God, there is never goodbye. It's always see you later. And God, I'm so grateful for them. And God, I pray that you would be with them in this transition as they go to Hawaii. That God, that you would increase their faith, increase their numbers. That many people will come to know you because of their faith in you. God, I know you're going to do incredible things like you've always done. And God, I know that God that you are, you're the God that cares about us deeply. And Father, we are so amazed in all the things that you have done in our lives. God, help those things to make us draw us closer to you. Father, thank you again for today. Father, I pray that we are encouraged and we're inspired when we walk out these doors to do great things for you this week, this month, this year. Father, we love you. We love you more than life itself. Thank you again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.